And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is transformation. My first guest argued that the Federal Reserve's role should remain the same, which is controlling monetary policy and employment. My next guest believes that nobody should die with a book inside of him or her. We'll talk to the Dean of Self-Publishing to discover why. If you have questions about publishing a book, you can always call us at 639-0008. Dan Poynter has been in self-publishing since 1969. That was before the term self-publishing even existed. For many years, Dan ran what was known as the world's largest one-person publishing company. He, as a one-man show, handled the writing, publishing and promotion, office management, shipping, all of that himself. Dan is in the best position to advise first-time publishing authors on what it takes to run a company on a limited budget. Dan now travels the globe teaching people how to get a book from inside of their head into the marketplace. He's received the National Speakers Association's highest honors as a professional speaker. Dan is an avid skydiver. He lives in Santa Barbara and is joining us from his home there in Santa Barbara. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Andy's the president of the Bill Frank Fan Club.
Well, thank you, Dan. That's awfully kind of you to say. I'm surprised you can even hear the show with as much international travel as you're doing.
Well, I can only do that at home.
That is true. Well, listen, Dan, I want to start out with, we're the most educated, we're the wealthiest generation in world history. And many of us have got interesting and exciting experiences that we want to share, but we don't know how to start. You've got, I think, really remarkable statistics about the number of people who want to write a book. Do you mind sharing those with us?
Well, according to the Gallup polling organization, 81% of the population would like to write a book someday. Now, to put that into perspective, you know, some people would like to play the piano someday. Some of us would like to lose some weight someday. But 81% are conscious of the whole thing, the value of writing a book and the value of reading books. So it's difficult right now during the holiday season, but people do get away and they do get ideas. And toward the end of this conversation here, I will give you the their plan, their mission for the holidays.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, that sounds good. Well, let's start with some of the basics. Why should anybody write a book? What's the impact?
Well, there are a number of reasons. Some people do it for credibility because it enhances their business. And they may be, whatever their business is or even consulting, that's going to give them more credibility. Your book gives you more credibility than anything else you could possibly do, like writing a screenplay, coming out with a line of greeting cards, teaching an adult ed class. People think if you wrote a book, you know something. And you probably do, because to write a book, you not only rely on your accumulated knowledge, but you study everything else that's been done out there. Another reason to write a book is a new profit center, and it is passive income. You know, while I'm talking to you on the phone, I have a number of books out there earning money for me, and that allows me to go and be in other places and talk to groups all over the world. It might be to leave a legacy. Your books are going to outlast you. They're going to be around for a long, long time, and people are going to be reading them, studying them, and using your books in their research. So there are a number of reasons, very, very good reasons.
All right. And then that all makes sense, and a lot of that is people are out there wanting to build their credibility, perhaps leave something for future generations. That makes sense. Let's talk about some more basics. What's the difference between an author and a writer?
Well, you don't think that Lee Iacocca wrote those two bestsellers by himself, do you?
Oh, sure I do.
Well, see, now he's the author of those books, but a very, very busy person, and he had ghostwriters do the writing. I often say, do you like to do bookkeeping? People say, no. I say, what do you do with it? Well, I hire it out, or I have a bookkeeper. Right. You're responsible for it, but you don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us like to do the writing ourselves, but there are other people who don't have the time or the inclination to do it, and in that case, we suggest that they hire it out, hire a ghostwriter.
All right, great. We're talking to Dan Poynter, everybody. He is the Dean of Self-Publishing. We're talking about writing a book, some of the reasons why somebody would want to do that. So let's say somebody is listening to the sound of our voice, Dan. They want to write a book. What subject should they select for their book?
Well, write what you know and go where your heart is. For example, let's say that you've got many years in real estate and you found a little niche in real estate and you're really good at it, but you're sick and tired of it. Don't write on that subject. I started off with my hobby. My hobby was skydiving. And I wrote a technical book on parachutes. I wrote a popular book on skydiving. And I went on and on and on and other things, whatever interested me at the time. So think ahead 2 or 3 years, what do you want to be thinking about? What do you want to be dreaming about? What do you want to be writing about? What's going to make you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning so excited you can't wait to get to the keyboard? That is your subject. Don't write about something just because you know a lot about it.
All right, so write about your passion. But, I mean, you know, is there a market for my passion? Say my passion is stamp collecting.
Well, what you need to do is some research on that. Let me put it this way. Go to Amazon. Look for other books like what you have in mind and read the entire long page. I was speaking in Durban, South Africa a few months ago. Then I spoke in Johannesburg a week later. A guy came up to me. He said, I was in your class last week. He said, that Amazon idea was good. I said, tell me about it. He said, you said to read the whole page. I read the reviews. I found on my subject what people liked about those books and what they didn't like. I found out what they wanted, what they didn't want. I know what to put in my book and what to leave out.
Oh, that's great. So it's really market research, and it's all right there on Amazon.com.
And the world's largest library, the Internet, you don't have to leave home to access the library.
All right. But, you know, Dan, really, writing a book, as you said, requires research. It requires time to sit down and do it. Most of us are busy people. So that brings us to the big question. How do busy people find the time to write a book?
Well, and now we're coming up to the holidays where we have additional things on our plate. Here is my prescription for you. Do the research. Whenever you have a little bit of time, go to Amazon and see what's there, and then start collecting information. You don't have to start writing yet. You've got to collect information first. So when you see something online that's important, print it out, put it in a drawer, put it on a shelf. When you get an idea, write it on a little piece of paper, put it on that shelf. Somebody says something to you during the day that's pertinent, write it down, put it on the shelf. You're not writing your book now. Your mission for the next 6 weeks till the first of the year is to collect the information.
All right, so you do the data collection, you collect the information right there. Then you do have to sit down and write, and that's a daunting task for a lot of people. I said at the outset we're the most educated group in society and that's ever been in world history, and that is true. But the reality is most of us don't like to sit down and write. So what tips do you have for writing?
Well, the biggest mistake is people start at the beginning. You take all this information you collected over the next 6 weeks, you put it into piles, one pile for each chapter, and then you start writing with the chapter that is the shortest, the easiest, or the most fun. Go for the interesting one. If you can just think of a story that's an exciting thing, an interesting thing that's pertinent, just write the story. You can piece all of this information together later, and you'll write the first chapter last. The first chapter tends to be an introduction of the book, and you don't even know where you're going yet.
Because
as you write your book, you're doing more research, and your book is turns out a little different from what you had in mind. So write in pieces and assemble it later.
So really you're adopting the Stephen Covey philosophy, which is begin with the end in mind and the rest of it becomes pretty easy.
There you go.
All right, good. We're talking to Dan Poynter, everybody. He is the dean of self-publishing. So now you've got some basic research underneath your belt. You know what direction that you want to go. You have begun writing and you start to cobble together your manuscript. Now comes the big decision. How do you get the book into the marketplace? So help us understand the different avenues that there are for publishing and maybe differentiate between vanity publishing, self-publishing, and traditional publishing.
Well, there are several ways to do it, and there's no cookie-cutter solution. There's no one-size-fits-all. It depends on the author, and it depends on the book. Who is this aimed at? So you have the large traditional publishers in New York. I'll tell you now that they're in deep trouble, and I wouldn't go that direction. They're not interested in anybody but celebrities anyway. You've got the medium-sized publishers who focus on one particular type of book, one category or genre. They're very good because they are focused on that, and they know where to sell the books, and it's not just bookstores. You've got the vanity presses out there, which are a terrible situation. They charge you a lot of money. They sell most of their books back to the author, and if you use the figures that they supply on their websites, you'll see that for every title they publish, they sell fewer than 100 copies, and most of those are sold to the author.
I see.
So before you deal with anybody in publishing, before you buy a car, before you have your house painted, do your due diligence, make a Google search on that company name and the plus sign, then the word scam, company name plus fraud, company name plus Better Business Bureau, company name plus ripoff. And so, again, before you have your house painted, check out the painter And if somebody's had problems, it'll probably show up online, and you can read between the lines. The fourth way would be to simply do it yourself, and that's so easy today. And again, there's no one-size-fits-all, but you can have your ebook done by smashwords.com. That's smashwords.com. You can upload your text and your cover, and they charge you nothing to put into 9 different formats: PDF, LIT, Mobi, Pocket Palm, EPUB, Sony Kindle, and so on. When they sell one, they send you 85% of the price that you selected for it. They only keep 15%.
Hmm.
Another possibility for some people, especially those on a limited budget, is to go with Amazon's subsidiary CreateSpace, and they're what we call a print-on-demand printer, so that when somebody orders the book from Amazon, CreateSpace makes a single book and ships it directly to them.
Okay.
For people on a limited budget, that's the way to go. For people who want to invest a little more, there are some other better alternatives out there. But those are the four possibilities today. And it's so easy, so inexpensive to break into print. And believe me, it will be a new profit center, and it will change your life.
Okay. Now, we're talking to Dan Pointer, everybody, who's the dean of self-publishing. And let's, Dan, just use your own personal publishing experience as sort of a guideline. You have over 67 books right now that you have.
127.
127. I missed it by 60, so I was about halfway there. But the reality is 127 books, and you say one size does not fit all. Recently, you've just released a travel book, and that book has never going to see the print. It's actually an electronic book, and that's the way that you designed it, and that's the way that it's going to stay, correct?
Well, yes, it's going to stay as a electronic book, because air travel changes so often, and I don't want to print up thousands of copies and then sit on some old books. With this, I can upload a new edition of it every couple of weeks. So that, in that particular case, it makes sense to do it that way. It's called the Air Travel Handbook, and it's available at Smashwords, and also it's a Kindle book at Amazon.
All right, good. Now, Dan, one of the questions as you're going through the different types of publishings that popped into my mind is, you know, the New York publishers that you referred to, yes, they may be dying, but isn't it more prestigious to be published by a big New York publishing house? And if not, give us some idea of who are some of the famous authors that have self-published.
Well, 78% of the books published are published by self-publishers. There are 6 large publishers in New York. There are 300 to 400 medium-sized publishers, and there are 81,000 small publishers or self-publishers, so I think we're in the majority.
Mm-hmm.
When people buy nonfiction for one or two reasons: to learn something or solve a problem. They go into the bookstore or other outlet, and they look at these books on the shelves. They select one. They say, will this answer my question? They read the copy on the back cover. They page through it. You know, who is this author? Is she a credible person? Nobody ever asks who the publisher is. It's not an issue. I've never heard anybody say, Random House, I love their books. I buy all of them.
Right.
The publisher is completely irrelevant. It has nothing to do with the sale of the book. But I'll tell you this, that the big publishers are cutting back on production values. They're printing the books on crummy, what we call natural stock paper. It's kind of a beige color, looks like newsprint.
Right.
And I'm talking about, you know, Wiley, St. Martin's, all these big publishers are doing that. And if your book is sitting next to theirs and yours is on white paper and theirs is on this natural stock, people will buy yours, because the natural stock, I say, it looks like newsprint, it just has no credibility.
Oh, very interesting. We're talking to Dan Pointer, the Dean of Self-Publishing. Dan, just give us an idea. I always like to say that publishing a book is like an iceberg. Only 1/6 of the iceberg is visible from the surface. 5/6 is below the water. I think writing a book is very much the same way. Only 1/6 of the writing of the book is above the water. The other 5/6 is really the marketing and promotion and distribution and selling of the book. So briefly touch on that, because there have been some major developments in those areas as well.
Well, it doesn't matter if you sell out to a big publisher or publish yourself. The author has to do the promotion. And many people say, oh, I'm so glad I'm finished writing that book. Hey, it's time to put on another hat, the promotion hat. The work is just beginning.
Oh.
But the promotion is so easy today. You can sit at home and you can send books off to people who have blogs on your subject and websites on your subject and opinion molders in your field. You can take part in online promotion. You don't have to get dressed, go outside. You don't have to do radio, TV, autographing parties. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. It's just so easy to promote and so inexpensive today.
All right. Well, Dan, just we've only got about 30 seconds left, but in that time, tell our audience, how has being a published author impacted your life? What changes have you seen as a result of it?
Well, it does change your life. You go from a private person to a public person. You know, people kind of gravitate towards you because you're the published author, and they assume that you know something, and you probably do. And it has allowed me to travel the world more than 6,000 miles a week.
Wow.
And to talk about my subject, which I couldn't do if I didn't have the credibility of the books behind me.
Oh, that's great. We've been talking to Dan Poynter, everybody. He's the Dean of Self-Publishing. He's also the author of the Self-Publishing Manual. It is a compendium of all of the information that you'd ever need to give you a basic background in how to write and publish your own book. It's a wonderful resource. I have it sitting on the shelf in my library as well. Dan, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We will talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dan.